Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Good, man. I'll start it off. So welcome back to Officially Unofficial, presented by Blue Wire Podcast. I'm your host, the former face of junior college baseball, the Fall American, Johnny Junta. And we're joined by our guy, Ben Porter. What's up, bro?
What's going on, Johnny? First time I've been on, I think, that I heard the Blue Wire intro.
Yeah.
So we had,
we had to mix it in. We have to actually mix it in. It's literally an obligation. So welcome. I mean, this is your first time technically on the pod when we're a part of a network. So congrats.
Oh, thank you. Congrats to you. It's exciting, man. It's exciting to be back.
So we'll
excited
start,
to be back.
Yeah, we'll start it off here with the World Series. And can I say this without being controversial, maybe one of the most boring World Series of all time? I'm sorry. Like, it was boring. It was very boring.
Yeah, so it definitely started off exciting, I thought. I mean, none of the games were too interesting aside from the pitcher's duel. But, you know, it was 1-1 and then, you know, just got away from the Astros, and there really wasn't at all any feeling like they were going to come back.
And hand up, when they won that game, I believe it was game 5, when they were on the road, the Braves lost their first game at home. In my mind, I was like, all right, now it's going to get a little bit interesting, because if you give the Astros an inch, they're going to take a mile. Little did I know they would just roll over. I mean, now the Astros are pathetic. And I wanted to say this for a second, because I know, obviously, you at the start of the cheating scandal, you had that really good tweet that went very, very super viral. I'm kind of getting tired of the cheating stuff. Like, it's so fucking annoying. It's so annoying.
I'm so over it. And it's to the point now where, like, anytime somebody gets a hit, or anytime, you know, Bregman goes 0-for-7 and then he breaks out of a slump, he's like, oh, maybe he's doing something. It's so tired.
It's just like, and the people that do it are like the least funny human beings of all. You would never catch me. And listen, this is me pumping my tires. I know I'm a funny guy. You will never catch me do a fucking trash can tweet or a cheating tweet. And the thing that really pissed me off is you have these fucking losers like Ryan Tepera saying that the Astros are cheating at home. Look at what they're doing at home when they're facing the White Sox. Like, give me a break, dude. Like that. Like, what a loser comment, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's free engagement at this point. Right. And like you said, like, you know, I went super viral off my tweet about it, but that was right after the story broke, you know?
Yeah, no, it was.
It was like 24 hours after. And now that we're two full seasons removed from it, I mean, it's just got to stop. Now all it is free engagement. People being like, oh, I could toss a trash can thing in there or a cheating thing in there and just get people to retweet me and comment me for free. So that's all it is at this point.
The only people that, in my opinion, like retweet that shit now and like that shit now are like 50-year-olds. Like, I genuinely haven't seen one person that's like a funny guy that genuinely enjoys like or retweets a trash can tweet or like even the signs of the games. Like, it's just so stupid. Like, even though, like, and then the Whites, I mean, the Astros were mashing on the road. Like, in they beat the White Sox in that clinching game. What was it like? They beat them by like 7.
Yeah. And the Red Sox, they beat them by like a million. You know, Jordan was going like 10-for-10 every game. I don't know. I'm over it, just like you are.
I'm happy the Braves won, man. Like, the Braves, like I said, obviously I'm very biased because Matzik and Tucker Davidson and all those guys, friends of the pod. But if I wanted one team to win it besides the Blue Jays, it'd have to be the Braves. I mean, you're talking about a team that's literally been suffering since like the 90s. Like, and I obviously I experienced that too. The Jays have been suffering since the 90s as well. So I can kind of compare with that. But, and I have a take here. I'm going to clip this and maybe we'll get some interaction on this. I genuinely do not think the Braves win this World Series if Acuña's in that lineup. Am I wrong on that? Like all the guys, like if you look at it, right? The NLCS MVP picked up in a trade. That trade wouldn't have happened if Acuña wasn't there. Rosario. That another trade was Solar, whatever. They don't make these trades if Acuña's in that lineup. You know, I genuinely think all the pieces fit. All these guys played a major, major role. I don't know if this happens if Acuña's in the lineup. All the guys that were major factors were due to trades because of the injuries.
So what I think I hear you saying is that Acuña is the most responsible for the championship.
Yes, him getting injured technically. And obviously, listen, Acuña is one of the best of all, like best in the game, not of all time. He's the best in the game of baseball. I think he's going to be, he's a superstar. He's going to be forever. I just think it, right now, right timing, right place. Alex Anthopoulos, former Blue Jays GM, made the right picks and the right trades. And that's why they won the World Series. I genuinely do not think they win this if Acuña's in. And maybe you could change my mind on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not also not going to fully like agree with you. But did you read Jeff Passan's article, the one he just put out?
No, I didn't.
It was really, really good. It's very long, but you know, one of the major lines in it was like, you know, that night the Braves lost Ronald Acuña, but they gained like their. I'm butchering the line, but you know, they gained their identity. Like they found themselves that night. Like they started doing some cool stuff. Jock Peterson, you know, he's wearing the pearls. Albies is always a cool dude. Freddie Freeman's the best, you know, that they got all those guys in the trades. Like it definitely was the first domino in a string of events that led to the World Series. I agree with you. I can see that, you know?
Yeah. It's just like, I mean, the moves Alex Anthopoulos made, I mean, the Eddie Rosario one to me is one of the most bananas of all time because they traded Pablo for him and then Pablo got released right after. So they realistically got nothing for him. Like they traded nothing for him. And that was in the NLCS, man. Holy shit. That guy was disgusting.
Oh, he was unconscious. He was going like 3 for 4 every single game.
It's it was unbelievable. And honestly, man, and I might be biased as well with this, but I wish they had like a pitcher MVP or something along those lines. Cause what Matzik was doing in these playoffs, I couldn't even fathom it. Like this is a guy that obviously we had him on early when he was grinding and he was like, just kind of trying to make the Braves. And now he's a legit household name. Like he's going to get paid. He's going to get so much fucking money.
Oh yeah, dude. He was nasty. Every time he came in, you know, it's pumping 100 with nasty stuff. I saw he was in a nice suit the last time he was on the pod.
Yeah.
just feeling the big league lifestyle a little bit.
He's living the dream.
He's awesome, man. I mean, all those guys, Tucker Davidson, he did great when he pitched. That whole staff was unbelievable. And on paper, I feel like they got written off a little bit. You know, obviously Max Fried is the man. But everyone else, Charlie Morton's an old man, but he pitched fucking awesome before he broke his leg. Like, and then they just had freaking donkeys coming out of the bullpen, the arm barn,
true,
you know, shoving. So I'm with you there. It was awesome.
I love the arm barn, by the way. I'm all in on the arm barn. And people are getting mad about it. Like, just fucking relax. Like, we're obviously Major League Baseball is not going to change it to the arm barn and try to do all that stuff. I'm just going to start calling it. It's the most electric fucking name of all time. The arm barn. Just guys that throwing absolute fuzz out of the arm barn. I mean, what is your thought process on that? I think it's electric.
I know I just used it, but it didn't sound as good in my mind as it just sounded out of my mouth. So like I'm kind of turning towards it now that I said it out loud.
It's off the tongue. It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, it's fine. Whatever.
It's something that's going to grow on me in the near future for sure. So I wanted to go into the season here. Obviously, tell the people, I mean, you're holding on to a ticket right now with Juan Soto that is going to make you fucking rich if it hits. And honestly, you actually gave me some really good points on why I actually agree with you on Juan Soto being the MVP. But I just see the writers and the people who vote going with Bryce Harper because it just the social media aspect of it, right? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think with Harper, it's all about, he's got the home runs on Soto, you know. Yeah. He hit what, 38 bombs?
Yeah,
Soto hit 29, I think. You know, not hitting 30 is definitely a detriment to his case. But, you know, he led in WAR on both sites. He was a better, more valuable fielder, I believe. Yeah. His OBP was like 472 for the season. So he's got as strong a resume as anyone. Harper, his OBP was still like 440, which is amazing. And he has the counting stats over Soto. So it really just comes down to what it always does. And that's what the writers value, or what the voters value, in that award. So I don't know. Obviously I'm holding on to a big ticket. I got him at a 10-1 before the season, and then 80-1 first game after the All-Star break.
That 80-1 is crazy.
Yeah. He went 4-for-5 the first game back. And I was like, oh, home run derby totally fixed his swing. And I was certainly, that was certainly one of the better bets that I made. But yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure what day they announce it, but it'll be him. It'll be Harper. And then the third will either be Tatis or Trey Turner, I would think.
Are you going to you can't really hedge that too. So you're in like a pretty shitty spot, right?
I mean, I didn't see it available anywhere else right now.
Yeah.
I'm also in Massachusetts, so it's not.
Yeah. You can't gamble
legal
there,
to bet,
which is crazy.
But I just got to sit on it. I'm hoping that the voters come through for me.
And let's go into the season here, man.
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, the season for me, the I'm very biased at the Toronto Blue Jays. I genuinely can't look at the Nationals the same. I really can't. And you know what's the most sad part about that too? I don't know if many people know this. So I was at that Jays game, the game 162. And when the Jays obviously murdered the Orioles, and what they did is, and this is one of the biggest jinxes of all time, at the Rogers Center, they put the Red Sox game on the Jumbotron, right? So everyone could watch it.
Yeah.
And the second they put it on the Jumbo, I can't make this shit up. Devers hits that home run to center, and everyone just left. It was insane. Like it was one of the biggest jinxes of all time, because the Jays won like, I don't know, it was like 15-1 or whatever the fuck it was. And then they put that on the scoreboard. I shit you not, Devers, immediate home run. So, I mean, it was a weird season for me, an emotional roller coaster. And I don't know if we'll ever see a Jays team this stacked ever again. This team was fucking insane.
Yeah, I was on the other side of the emotional roller coaster. Yeah. I was running through an airport, trying to find the game. Like I had a layover for a while.
Yeah.
And I could not find the game anywhere. I was going to bars, and I found one at like a closed down bar with no seats. So I was like standing in the middle of the aisle at the airport watching the game. And I was like jumping around in the airport. People probably thought I was nuts, but so that was a good game for me. But man, that must have sucked. How late did you stay at the Rogers Center?
Well, like, so the game literally ended, and everyone's like on their phone or on their tablet, like watching the Red Sox game and the Yankees game. And then the Yankees one's crazy to me when the Aaron Judge didn't get intentional walked. It was like just the whole, like a whole fuckload of shit that just pissed me off.
Fuck
that.
The Yankees.
Yeah. Fuck the Yankees forever. And then, so the game ended, and then literally, like, I'm not even over exact. Like I left right after that Devers home run. I couldn't emotionally deal with that, because you had Vladdy in the dugout. If you saw the picture, Vladdy's in the dugout watching the Jumbotron, and he just had his head down, like borderline. I think he was crying. Like it's just like, especially a season like that, man, it was like, I guarantee you every AL team did not want to face the fucking Blue Jays in the playoffs. Like that, it was insane. Like that team was so good.
Yeah, their lineup is awesome, man. And their pitching was great too. I mean, Robbie Ray could win.
I think he is. I think he is. I think it's already like, I think he's going to win the Cy Young, right? He has to.
Yeah, it's him or Cole, but I'd like Robbie Ray to win. But yeah, I mean, Vladdy had an MVP caliber season in any other season where Shohei Ohtani doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you got a bunch of dudes in Bo Bichette, Teoscar Hernandez, Marcus Semien was a MVP candidate too. Yes. That guy's unbelievable, and he's a free agent now. You think they're going to try to get him back?
No, I see. This is the thing with Semien, right? So Semien is he came to the Jays on a discount to kind of show people like, yes, I can still mash, because he had that tough year last year or the year before. Yeah, last year he had that tough year, And he came to the Jays to show people, like, listen, I'm still disgusting at the game of baseball. I'm still that MVP, like the runner-up for MVP or came in third for MVP. I'm still a good player. So he came to the Jays discount, said, listen, I'm gonna play second base. You can have let Bo have shortstop right now. I'm gonna show people I can still hit. So I think he wants to be a second base. I think he wants to be a shortstop. Sorry. I think he wants to be a shortstop. And the Jays, you can't move Bo over. Like the second. I mean, you can.
But he's their franchise guy.
He's the franchise guy. So I think the chance of Semien staying with the Jays is so slim. It's just next to impossible, to be honest, because what are you going to do with Bo? You can't do anything.
No. Well, that's interesting, though, because, I mean, you got Correa and Seager also in free agency.
Yeah.
So if you look at Semien as like the third guy, he still might go at a pretty discounted rate.
I don't know that, though. Do you think? Story too, right?
Oh shit! Yeah.
It's like that's what I'm saying though with Semien. It's like, listen, man, you had a good year, but you're not young like these guys. You're not. You're right, actually. Now that I think about it, you might actually take a discount, but I just still think someone's gonna pay him. Someone's gonna have to pay him.
He'll get paid for sure. I just think he'll be, let's say, the third or fourth highest paid free agent shortstop, but. I mean, a team with a shortstop could go after him given what he's done at second base. Like, that's not unheard of.
Yeah, I just think if he's – this is my scenario. I think if the Jays sign him, he stays at second base.
Yes.
I think
– For sure.
If he signs with the Jays, it'll be so much money and he'll have no one offers, like, even matches the Jays. He'll be forced to stay at second base. I just don't know if he's a second baseman. Like there's a lot of instances last year when he was at second where he looked kind of lost. And there was this one loss that I was actually at the Jays game. It was one of the most heartbreaking losses of all time against the Tigers. Do you remember that? When he two-hopped Vladdy at first base and the Jays lost?
Yeah.
Like, see, there was a couple things like that when he looked not out of place, but he wasn't as defensively good as he is at shortstop. Like, Marcus Semien's a shortstop, right? I mean, he's not a second baseman. So that I could see him just being like, listen, man, I want to play fucking shortstop. I'll take a discount to play shortstop somewhere else. That's where I could see it.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. That definitely makes sense. Yeah. So, well, that kind of narrows down the teams that he can go to, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're in the market for a shortstop, you probably go after him as opposed to one of the guys who's going to get big, big money.
Correa is going to get big money. I'm trying to wrap my head around the fact, like, he's going to go to the Yankees, right, Correa? I mean, he is.
One of them is going to the Yankees.
We have to just accept it. Like, you and I, as guys that fucking hate the Yankees, we have to legitimately just wrap our head around and accept the fact that the Yankees are going to get, a franchise shortstop this deadline, right? We have to.
Yeah, I mean, but if you look at what the Yankees have done the past couple seasons, you know, they got Giancarlo Stanton. Look at the trade deadline this year. They got Rizzo and they got Joey Gallo. Like, that's the name of the game for them, or it has been recently. Yeah. And, you know, they've done jack shit with it. So
I love concerned. To see the Yankees fucking lose. Like, I really do. And we have a network here, actually, on Blue Wire, Bronx Pinstripes. It's a pretty big Yankee podcast. I was on it. And I love Yankee. I mean, these are great guys, but just Yankee fans in general are the most delusional human beings of all time. My buddy legit texted me because Nick Castellanos opted out, right? Or he didn't opt out, sorry. He just didn't exercise his player option. And he's like, Castellanos to the Yankees. What are we doing here? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just get every single human being, like every superstar of all time, and just he's going to the Yankees. It's crazy to me how, like these people are sick.
Oh, it's insane. I mean, I saw a conversation. I forget who their top prospect is besides Jasson Domínguez. But someone was like, would you trade him for Juan Soto? It's like, yeah. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, you trade anyone in the world for Juan Soto.
Yeah, he's a superstar.
And no, that's not going to happen. Like, the Yankees fans, at least, think that, you know, they can get these GMs to just trade them whoever they want for the right combination of prospects. I mean, we've heard the Andujar and Frazier trade a million times. Like,
yeah, it's like,
I don't know. It's so tired.
And I love to see it because first of all, they got Gallo and he was terrible. Like, he was so bad on the Yankees. And I'm not one of those old guys that's like the strikeouts, look at all that stuff. Like, he just wasn't good there. He wasn't right. good in the outfield. He made a couple errors against the Jays. Just he didn't look like he was at home in New York. And is he there for another year? Do you know that?
Who, Gallo?
Yeah.
I think so. Rizzo's a free agent, but Gallo, I believe Gallo is still a Yankee.
And do you think Schwarber goes back to the Red Sox?
I hope so. What an awesome signing that was.
That was I mean, fucking good.
He's also like, you could tell he was like buying into being a Boston guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there it's the whole Kyle from Waltham thing or, yeah. you know, during the wild card or during the playoffs, you know, he botched that throw at first and then he was like celebrating after
yeah.
a routine.
He's a blue collar like, guy.
A,
yeah.
Yeah. He's a fun guy. He enjoyed the atmosphere. I think I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to make something happen on his end. But, you know, Chaim Bloom's going to do what he does, and that may not necessarily appease the fans. So we'll see.
Could you see a guy like Schwarber taking less to stay in Boston? Like, I could definitely see. I mean, he loved it there, and you could see what he did. He's like a blue-collar guy. The people of Chicago loved him. The people, like, and I could definitely see obviously the Red Sox fans love him. But I could see a guy like Schwarber definitely taking a little bit of a discount to stay with the Boston Red Sox.
I think if he stays with the Sox, he's going to have to. Part of that is dependent on JD Martinez because he's got an opt-out in his contract. And if he leaves, then obviously we need a DH. But otherwise, Schwarber's not the greatest outfielder. So you'd have to put him at first, and then, you know, does he platoon with Bobby Dalbec? You know, what happens there is a big question. But I would love to see him stay.
Dude, that prospect you guys have in your system, Jarren Duran, oh my God, this kid is disgusting. I'd call him up now. Like, I'd put him on the opening day roster, to be honest.
He's awesome. He's like the prototypical center fielder that you think of. He's fast. He's a lefty. Yoked. He's jacked. Yeah, he steals bags. You know, he legs out triples. I mean, he didn't do incredible. First at bat, though, he got a hit off of Garrett Cole, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, he just needs some reps. He's going to be a dude.
Who's that one prospect you guys had that played for Team USA in the Olympics? Is that him? No, it's not, right?
Tristan Casas?
Tristan, maybe? Yeah, him.
Him?
He's lefty, I think I was talking about him. Yeah. Obviously, like the guy we were originally talking about was good, but Tristan Casas or whatever the fuck his name is, he's going to be a superstar.
Yeah, he's a big power hitting lefty. Yeah,
he's gonna be beast. Yeah, it's just the Red Sox and the Yankees, I feel like, always just have these prospects that like throw 105 and just fucking mash. Like, it pisses me off.
And then still lose to the Rays.
Yeah, but the Rays, though, man, I don't know what kind of system they got going on there. And I have a take for you. I think Tyler Glasnow is not a Tampa Bay Ray next year.
I saw, you know, the girl on Twitter, Andrea, the scout girl.
Yes. Yeah.
Girl Andrea, I think. She's great. She said that like there's no reason for them to trade him right now. You know, they can wait to see if they're in the fight and then trade him at the deadline, which I think makes a lot of sense.
That makes sense.
So I think he starts the year as a Ray.
You think so? I don't know, man.
I don't know if he ends the year as a Ray. I don't know.
The thing with that is he already knows they tried to deal him at the deadline. He was a part of that package for the Cubs, correct? Like he was like when the Rays were trying to get I don't know if it was Bryant or I don't remember who it was for, Baez maybe, but they wanted to deal him to the Cubs. Like, that's public knowledge. I think Jeff Passan actually tweeted that.
I don't recall that one. So,
yeah, I know they tried to deal him though. That's 100% sure. And obviously the Rays just have pitchers coming out like everywhere that throw this, like obviously not like Tyler Glasnow, but they have guys everywhere.
They got McClanahan, Shane Baz.
You're like, actually, yeah, you got a hit off McClanahan. People don't talk about that enough. And I actually respect the fact that you try to finagle it to where his name is kind of trending on Twitter. So you'll just you'll mix it in there. Like, listen, I got a hit off him. Maybe the people that search his name will be like, whoa, what's this video? I respect that.
Yeah, it's a grainy, soundless video. But, you know, I hit it up the middle with a little oomph.
You're an Ivy League guy, is that correct? Yes.
Yeah.
How hard was your fucking schooling? I mean, so you're obviously a genius. I mean, you're smart. Were you there for like, so here's a question: were you there academic wise or were you there like because you were the athlete, like, or was it first athlete. Academic?
Yeah, oh, I was certainly smart, and you still have to be smart to play at those schools, but I would not have been able to get in if it weren't for baseball.
Okay. Was hard. So what Ivy League schools were knocking on your door?
Pretty much just Columbia. I reached out to a couple others. I talked to Dartmouth and Penn a little bit, but you know, certainly happy with my decision.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah. So is Harvard a good baseball? Does Harvard have a baseball? Oh, they have a baseball
team. Yeah, Harvard. Harvard won the Ivy League my senior year. Obviously, the 2 years after had the season canceled.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've been good.
Are they a bunch of assholes like the Harvard guys?
No, they were good dudes.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we really got into it mostly with Dartmouth and Penn. We didn't like those guys. Princeton maybe a little bit, but Harvard was fine, at least while I was there. Okay. Yale was a big rivalry for us too.
Because yeah, dude, those Ivy League schools, like you see it with college football, like they have just the funniest fucking rivalries, like just the most random fucking rivalries of all time. It's insane. I love Ivy League. I mean, Ivy League football games are so funny. They don't throw the ball. They literally just run the ball. It's electric.
So I think of all of the teams in the Ivy League, we were the most like normal of guys. You know, we were probably the closest thing to like a group of clowns on a summer ball team or something. Yeah. You know, that was what I think that helped us. You know, we were all there to play baseball and like there for that experience. It's kind of funny because when we played at Harvard my senior year, and we were there on their senior day and they were all announcing like he's going to medical school to be a brain surgeon and he's going to conduct in the symphony and blah, 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 blah. We were like, shit, I'm doing sports betting after this.
So what did you have to go to school for to get into the sports betting? And
nothing related. Nothing related.
Oh, you didn't do anything like related to sports betting and odds and odds making?
No.
So how did you get into that then?
I applied to pretty much every job that said sports in it. And this one stuck. I ended up getting an interview and then it worked out.
Yeah. So explain to the people that are listening how odds are made. Like, for instance, because everyone, the thing that pisses me the fuck off when people are like, they have to know something that we don't because they get like the spreads head, like the totals spot right on. Is there analytics or some shit that you look into to get these odds?
No, I mean, so everything that we have used, at least, you know, in my experience, is the same as publicly available information and stats and analytics, whatever tools you want to use. The advantage the sports books have is they see what everybody bets on. You know, I watch thousands and thousands and thousands of bets a day. And that tells me, you know, that tells me exactly where the line should be. If everybody's betting on the over, the number's probably too low, right? If everybody's betting on the, you know, then I bump the line up, everybody bets on the under, I probably moved it too much. Eventually, you know, you start to see that action balance out and that's where, you know, you reach the number. And then by the time the game starts, you know, the line is rock solid because it's been, you know, bet up and down.
True.
Every which way all day. And so you see the closing line, they'll be like, you know, this number closed at 154.5 and then it ends at 154. Like that's because people have been, you know, moving it towards 154 all day. So they're smart people. They're smart people betting on it when it's wrong. And then it ends up being right.
That's crazy, dude. I didn't even actually take that in. It's like, the thing that's insane to me with that is like, so you recommend people getting in on like the NFL games early on Monday before the lines move up or down?
It depends what you're trying to do. If you are trying to beat the line, which is, you know, generally if you bet enough, a profitable strategy, like yes, early lines are probably the most exploitable. If you're betting on Sunday morning, an NFL side, like you're probably not going to have much of an edge. That doesn't mean you can't pick a winner, but it does mean you're not going to, you know, beat the line by 2 points.
Okay. That makes sense.
If you want to, you know, find the lines with the most exploitability, you look to props, or you look to other leagues.
Yeah, where like you technically, like the quote that everyone says is like, quote unquote, catch the book sleeping. Like if a guy's right. injured, or like a running back's out, or if anything along those lines, or a pit, it just something like a pitching change, maybe all that kind of stuff. You just want to catch the book sleeping. That's like the props are the best ones, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Cause there's so many players to take into account. You know, you might miss that somebody's out, and then depending on the rules of the sports book, you know, if you bet an under on a guy who doesn't start the game, like that might cash, you know? So things like that are good to keep an eye out for, or, you know, you can catch a starting pitcher getting scratched, and then you bet on the other team. You know, if Scherzer gets scratched and you bet against, you know, the Dodgers, you're going to beat the line that way. So it's different for every sport in terms of beating the line. But if you're betting on game day, if you're betting an hour before the game on a main line, typically you're not going to have an edge there.
Yeah, no, I guess the quote unquote sharps like are in on it on like Monday or like Tuesday for Sunday Night Football and stuff like that. Some of them at least.
Yeah,
at least
yeah, not necessarily. It depends.
Or they wait for it to move to a number that they like. It's like along those lines. Yeah. So it just created.
So a lot of books for football, at least, you know, when the game opens on probably Tuesday, or when the game's open on Monday or Tuesday, whatever it is, you know, the limits are really low. So sharps probably won't even want to bet it there, because they'll only be able to get, I don't know, $100 down or whatever the limit might be.
Yeah.
So they want to wait till later in the week, see if they can find any more edge, and then they can throw 500, 1,000 on it. So it's really it's a back and forth. It's a puzzle. It's kind of a game against the book for these sharp people. But yeah, that's one thing to remember when you're betting, is you're not the only person betting. Like, you're not the only person who, you know, thinks you know something. There are thousands of other people who are telling the book exactly why they're betting on what side.
It's electric. It's just so fucking fascinating. And that's Gambling with Fish and Official. And actually, we like on the Blue Wire is actually with WinBet. So like they're right. Yeah. There's a couple other, I mean, I've been on the sports gambling podcast, which is electric. If you want to like people listen to that, it's good shit. And there's other sport. Yeah. It's a sports gambling network. So there's a lot of good stuff on there for sure. But let's go back into the season. So the Seattle Mariners, just treating Seager like absolute dog shit. What's your thought process on that? I mean, what the fuck is wrong with that management, dude? It's crazy.
I don't know, dude. I mean, he was with them for so long and gave his heart, and you know, they had such a good year and they were in it till the very end. Like, it hurt, you know, watching him crying coming out of the game.
Yeah,
it really did. Like you said, I mean, I just feel bad for the guy.
And didn't he find out through like a, what was that article? Like, he found out with an email. Was it an email? I don't remember what it was. Fuck.
No, I don't. I'm not sure.
He found out like a terrible way that he wasn't like they weren't going to do the op, like, or accept the option with him or something along those lines. Just like, what the fuck are we doing? And yeah. Like, that's some shit that, yeah. I mean, that's just the Mariners. That's how the Mariners treat their fucking, it's insane to me. I feel bad for those fans because do they have the longest playoff drought, right? Is that them?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah.
It's got 2001, I think.
Yeah, it's insane to me. It's like, you just hate to fucking see it. And then the other team I want to talk about is a team, like, I mean, what the fuck happened to the New York Mets? Holy shit. I mean, off a season recap. I mean, the New York Mets, and do you see the article that Lindor and McNeil were like legit scrapping in the dugout, like holding each other by the neck?
Yeah, I wish I knew what their record was before and after that incident. I don't really have a problem with what happened.
Me neither. I love it.
It's kind of badass on Lindor's part to, like, you know, because McNeil. Jeff McNeil wasn't shifting as he was supposed to, and Lindor was fed up. Like, dude, if we're gonna shift, you got to shift with us, you know. And then he choked him out, basically. Like, kind of like how you imagine a cartoon character holding a guy up by the neck.
Yeah.
Strangling him like Bart Simpson or something. I love that from Lindor. I mean, he's there for a long time. He's got to be a leader and establish a clubhouse respect.
Yeah. And then they were roasting Baez. And then Baez, I believe, hit over 300 as a New York Met. I mean, he was struggling at the start, but I hate this fucking new crowd that just looks at the strikeouts. It's so fucking annoying. Like, look at OPS, look at OBP. Like, those are the things for me that dictate if a guy is good. I'm not a guy that looks at average. Like,
right. And that's what Javi does, you know? Javi's not – I mean, he has in the past, but, like, generally, he's going to strike out a lot.
Yeah.
You know, his average isn't going to be incredible. But he got off to an incredibly rough start. And then – sorry. He got off to an incredibly rough start. And then, you know, those numbers are still reflected in his average. Like, he did pretty well once he got to New York. So I don't know. Mets fans are hard on everything. They're a very woe is me fan base. I don't think they would take exception to me saying that even. Like, they know it. Everybody knows it.
Yeah.
So they're going to be hard on their players, which is fine. You know, good fan bases are. But I think he got a little bit too much flack.
Yeah, it's just like take it easy, Mets fans. Mets fans are fucking crazy though. Honestly, like, we had Frank the Tank on the pod. He's so electric. He's like a funny Mets fan where I'm like, all right, this is funny. This is a shtick. This is hilarious. Like, this guy's comedy. But there's legit guys that like will send Mets players death threats, roast them, and every single guy we have on this show says City Field is the hardest place to play because the Mets fans are fucked. Like, they're ruthless.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Who was it? Was it a Mets player that – who clapped back at somebody? It was Carlos Rodon.
Yes.
Carlos, if you're listening to this and you've ever thought about or you have ever DM'd a player because they didn't play well, like
– you're a loser.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah, you're a total loser.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Get your priorities straight. Like, if your life is dictated that much by the outcome of a baseball game or the performance of one player – like, you need to reevaluate what you're doing. That's unacceptable. Yeah,
those people are the biggest losers of all time. Like, it's not even close. If you DM an athlete, if you think you're going to DM an athlete, you're just such a fucking clown. It doesn't make any sense. Just stop. Like, just don't do it. It's I don't know. Some people, even if you lose money on it, like, you're just such a fucking idiot. Like, they're regular human beings playing a sport. Like, it's not life or death for you. It's crazy to me. And the last thing I want to talk about is, obviously, man, I mean, what is your thought process on, like, some of the rule changes you see in the fall league? Have you seen some of the fall league rule changes?
Yeah, I've got a buddy pitching in the fall league right now. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's the increased base size.
Yes.
It's like a very rigid pitch clock.
Yes.
What else is there? Are they doing I think robotic? Robot strike zone.
Is it robot strike zone?
I believe so.
Oh, maybe. I didn't know it was that one. Yeah.
Maybe not. But, well, so my buddy who's pitching there says that it's really, really hard to pitch. You know, they limit the amount of pickoffs you can do to two pickoffs. So if you pick a guy off twice, he can get a suicide lead and then just steal because you're not allowed to pick off a third time. Also, there's a very rigid pitch clock. And if you don't throw before the pitch clock is up, you know, there's a ball called.
Jesus Christ.
So he said, like, you know, if you're in the stretch, you're trying to hold a guy on. If you have to shake twice, it's just going to be a ball because you're not going to be able to get the pitch off in time.
Oh my God.
Given what I've heard from someone who plays in that league, I don't like it. I like the concept of a pitch clock just to prevent, you know, the David Price type pitchers who take forever in between pitches, but you got to let these guys do what they do and do what they know how to do.
There's a good median pitch clock. Like, there's a good area where it's like, obviously the David Prices of the world. There's a couple other guys. I just think a pitch clock is fine, but if it's too, like, to the point where pitchers who are normal pitchers who are getting dinged and getting given balls and all this stupid shit, it's just so dumb to me. I don't understand it. Like, the pitch clock doesn't make any sense. You go on to grow the game of baseball. And honestly, this is my thing. I'm 100% for the runner on second.
Yeah, I disagree with you there.
You don't like that? Dude, come on, bro. Dude, how boring was that playoff game where it was like 15 innings, dude? Like, the runner on second, first of all, it's electric for the over. If you have the over and they have the runner on second, they just keep going back and forth.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a great point right there.
Like, that part I love, and it just gets the game over with. And obviously, you can compare it to, like, the shootout in hockey, which is kind of dumb. But hockey, what they do the 3-on-3 overtime where it's so fast-paced, it's electric to watch. That runner on second rule, it doesn't go against the pitcher's ERA. I think it's a a great rule, to be honest, man. I think it just it's so much better for the game.
I still don't like it. You know, if I'm watching a game through to extra innings, I'm going to keep watching. Like, I don't need the game to wrap up in a timely manner. It's just not a priority for me. I think the reason they put it in place was so the players wouldn't be on the field interacting, you know, during COVID anyway. So I think the reason for it is a little misguided by now. I understand why some people like it. I just, you know, I prefer my baseball regular.
I just think it's so obviously maybe might be my ADHD kicking in. I just think the extra, like the runner on the runner on second is just so much more pleasing to me to watch. And it's also so fucking sick when both teams don't score. Like, runner on second, you have the pitcher with the biggest balls of all time, Tyler Matzek, and they just go 0-0 in the 10th. It's sick.
That is you're making some good points here. You know, you definitely are. I do love the bottom of the inning after the top of the inning team doesn't score. I do like that because there's a lot of pressure on them. However, I would much prefer it to be that way because of a leadoff double.
I guess. You're right on that, dude. You're definitely correct on that. I just genuinely think, like, it makes, for me, for instance, I'd rather see runner on second, guy hits a double single, and then the next team hits, and then the bottom of the inning, they hit a double single, they tie it up.
Yeah,
I just think that's way more electric than just boring. Here we go.
No, I got you.
3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0. Like, the game goes 16, 17 innings. Like, that's not good for anyone. It really isn't.
Yeah, it manufactures some action for sure. I don't know. It's not high on my list of priorities to take out or to leave in. It doesn't really matter to me, but I prefer it the original way.
Yeah.
And going off of that, you know, we may have seen, probably have seen the last pitcher hitting ever.
Really? You think so?
Except for Shohei. Yeah. I honestly think that universal DH will be in the new CBA. I can't imagine it won't be.
That's a tough one. You could be right on that. I just can see the baseball hardos being like, no, I don't want that shit. You know what I mean? I get that. I don't know. I think you're right though. I genuinely do think you're right this was the last time we'll see pitchers hit, but I could also see an aspect, if you know how MLB baseball is, where they're going to be like, no, pitchers are hitting still, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you never know, but I think it gives some guys like Schwarber or like Nelson Cruz an opportunity to play anywhere. So, we'll see. I hope pitchers hit. You know, the more I talk about it, the more I hear about these arguments, the more I kind of side with the pitcher's hitting side of things.
Yeah. It's like,
I think it's hilarious when a pitcher goes up there, doesn't take the bat off his shoulder and strikes out in three pitches.
Yeah. It's hilarious. It's just like, dude, I love the pitcher wearing the jacket on the base pass. Oh, and then you have guys great. Like Zach Greinke who rake.
It's the best. Yeah.
I love it.
When a pitcher does do something, it's such a heightened level of excitement. Even a freaking guy gets a bunt down, you're like, yes, he didn't strike out. You know, I think that's fun.
Exactly. Well, anyways, man, I mean, you guys can follow him on Twitter at Ben13Porter. He's my guy, one of the Ride or Dies Fishing Official. I think we had you on where our logo was like black and white, like when we were just absolutely grinding. So it's been a pleasure, man. And obviously it's off season grind now. So are you going to be like, are you going to turn into like an NFL college football guy now? Or are you just sticking with baseball in the off season?
Yeah. I've been trying to think about what to do. I've been enjoying doing the Twitter spaces. So if you're listening, you want to, you know, chat some baseball, I've been doing those a lot of nights. I'll watch a lot of dead ball era footage to find some, you know, funny shit. I'll be watching football. No basketball though. Try to get into some hockey
it.
Too.
Can't so. Do it. Can't do basketball. Never bet in the NFL. That's legitimately a cardinal rule. You never bet on the NFL, right? I mean, that's what it has to be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'll be doing a multitude of things, trying to figure it out, you know. So, yeah, man, congrats on all the success, all the high profile people you got on. I'm looking forward to you know, down the road, maybe next month, we'll see if a certain special someone comes on the pod.
He better. I mean, the guy said soon. I think he will. Actually, I got a funny content piece I'm going to do, like, to try to get him on the pod. We'll figure something out. But anyways, man, thank you again for hopping on the show. Ben 13 Porter.
Always a pleasure.
Ben 13 Porter on Twitter, and we'll talk soon, brother. All right?
All right, man.
Thank you for listening to Officially Unofficial. Make sure you guys subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Fish on a Fish Pod and on Instagram at Officially Unofficial Pod. Thank you.